nice things.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another fun-packed... I'm going to do that again, because it's too hot. it's too hot. Hello, good evening, and welcome to another fun-packed, thrill-filled edition of Nice Things.
Nice Things.
The antidote to modern living, and joining me, the well-toasty and well-grilled Michael Livesley, we have...
My name is Paul Carmichael, and I remember 1976, and it wasn't that bad, because I'm a miserable twat on Twitter. Anyway.
Oh, right. So this has become... It's funny how everything's political now, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Even the weather. People going, oh, this is a bit extreme, isn't it? 40 degrees. Well, I was around in 1976, and I didn't die. Who cares, you joyless bastard? I don't care.
Don't
I'm quite warm. No, well, I do, obviously. I care deeply. And these people should be receiving a visit from Strong Arm rather soon. It would have happened today, but a couple of people came up with the old, I don't know why we pay Gary Lineker that much, so they had to be corrected. And in this heat, the corrections are quite stern, I must
Lineker
say.
Lineker is a hypocrite, though. They're all bloody hypocrites. They still all fly around the world. And he's still going to cover Qatar, which has stadiums built by slave labour. Do you know what I mean? I admire principle, and that is fine. Yes, you might sort of give a derisory snort at that, but there's like hundreds of people died in the construction of those stadiums. Because it's jolly warm. And so, things.
Yeah, so what you're telling me, essentially, is that the sport of football is at fault here, and people die.
The whole infrastructure of football. I think it's run by FIFA, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know
how that means the world of football, but it does, doesn't it? FIFA Vendetta. Anyway, they're all arseholes. That's the bottom line. I don't need to qualify that statement.
No, it's a very fair point, but I don't see that particularly Gary Lineker is responsible for Qatar deciding to, you know, kill people. It's not his fault.
Well, these people... All right, okay, so if you're going to normalise what is in effect quite a bad state in terms of human rights, I'm too tired to think of the proper word, but they've got an appalling human rights record, right? If you are willing to sort of normalise that by appearing, hi everybody, it's great, it's whatever, and here's the footballing, right? If you're willing to do that, then I'd expect you to be somebody whose principles were aligned accordingly. You then wouldn't go around telling everyone else how to live, and he tends to do that, so he gets people's backs up. So I don't think when people say, we shouldn't be paying him all this money, which we shouldn't, because you could get somebody who... knows all that crap. You, right?
No, I don't
you
know
could
the
learn
crap,
a script.
Though.
You could learn. You could read
I can read auto-cue, yes.
Yeah, right. So there you go. Right. Okay. I get why he's in the position he's in, right? He was the captain of the England footballing team that got us the most far in a tournament since 1966. Get that. I understand. I do understand how we have the intersection of media and how it works, and so do you. You know, it's like people objecting about, you know... the person playing the lead in this film is paid this, and yet the guy who's sort of an extra only gets this money. Yeah, but there's a differential in skill and experience there that is sort of compensated in fee. I get that. It's simply him. He rubs people up the wrong way because his principles aren't constant and consistent. That's why he pisses people off.
I think football's to blame is what you're saying here. I could bring this up in a cab sometime.
And he'd drop you off in miles from where you live.
No, this is
true. Oh, no, he might agree with you.
Subject.
I don't know.
He might.
It gives a shit. Football's a lot of crap.
Well, it doesn't matter, does it? Because at the end of the day, I mean, you've always got this. It's to-ing and fro-ing, back and forth. Like the whole thing after Khashoggi was killed and cut into pieces at that embassy. And straight away, Biden is very much of the, oh, terrorism, we will never do anything with these people. This week he's getting off a plane, not falling down the steps, which is a good move. He stopped doing that, I think.
Must have juiced
him
up.
Must have been that, yeah. And he's doing business with these people. It doesn't matter. They have to pay lip service, don't they? But at the end of the day, where's the money? Money's
there. Are you
talking
about Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, probably.
They do more than pay lip service, though, don't they? It's trillions in arms.
Well, yes, there is that.
You know.
But those little Yemenese children won't bomb themselves, dear.
I know.
Apparently.
It's disgusting. Do you remember Mark Thomas? when the C of E were in London or something, and they owned lots and lots of shares in, is it Lockheed or someone who makes lots and lots of...
Yes, weaponry, Lockheed, yeah.
And he hired a wagon with a big missile on the back and a banner and all this other stuff. That Mark Thomas comedy product was excellent. It was a real good show, that. Why don't they make telly like that anymore?
Well, I mean, he was Channel 4, wasn't he? So at the moment, Channel 4's busy fighting for its survival. That's the issue that we've got there.
Was that made out like that in 10, 15, 20 years?
Well, no, they do push the sort of satirical stuff. I think the difficulty there is that occasionally it goes beyond parody. I think the big mistake was 1997, when Guy Jenkin and Andy Hamilton basically said, well, we're going to stop making Drop the Dead Donkey. 1997's our final series because New Labour are coming in and there'll be nothing to satirise. That's genuinely what they thought. So I think you end up with these...
Well, I think they became beyond satire. Maybe that was
absolutely
their point.
But I think now we're almost in a post-satire age, aren't we? Again, with the way that politics has gone. You can take the piss out of it however you want, but I don't think you're going to take the piss out of it as well as the people involved are doing themselves, or taking the piss out of us, or both. So I think it's a shame. Did you see this week, though, Mark Thomas gave a graduation speech?
I didn't see it. I didn't, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, I mean, it's lovely. I was thinking, my assumption there was...
I might steal that in a few years.
Well, yeah, just a few words here and there. I told you, during that speech, I very nearly gave it a bit of William Hartnell Dalek Invasions of Earth. So always go forward in all your beliefs. But I thought, if I make eye contact with you, I'm dead. So I can't do that. So that
I don't know, though. I would have enjoyed it.
I might do that next year. Yeah. I might try and just lift the whole graduation speech from Speeches by Terry Nation.
Can you imagine that? That would be
brilliant. I reckon if I start work now, I might be able to do it. But, this speech, it wasn't at all like the lovely Rick Mayall's speech, where he talks about love so eloquently that maybe it had to be reappropriated somewhere. But it's just an attack. It's a lovely... vitriolic attack, and for the first time in a long time I did find myself thinking, well, thank God that we have got YouTube and stuff like that, so we can see this. It's I am starting, and this isn't a victory for you by any means.
I'm not like that. No.
However, I am finding now, because I've got a nice new telly, and it's a smart telly.
Dead man's telly,
yes. Shirt there, telly there.
Brill. Yeah. Hey, man, it's better than it going the tip.
Oh, it's a beautiful one as well. It's lovely. But it's a smart telly, so it's got all
smart
these things
shirt.
On.
Smart telly.
That's it. Yeah, who doesn't want them? So what I'm doing now is I am actually watching stuff on YouTube on the telly. I'm not watching any Netflix shit, obviously. I won't go that far.
The trouble, I don't know if you've noticed, because I also have a smart telly. Adverts. Lots and lots of adverts on YouTube on smart tellies. Isn't
there? They've started doing this. Someone was complaining about this recently. You know, on YouTube, it pops up occasionally. It says, would you like to take out a friends and family membership? And if that's the only way to get rid of the adverts.
That's right. I was just going to say, you've got to give them money. They're no different to the mafia, dear boy.
Not absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
Speaking of YouTube links, did you click on the one I sent you yesterday for Bullman?
Not yet.
Oh, man, I'm buying the DVD. I can't find the... Right, so I ended up getting some VHS rips years ago. Never watched them. And then with us talking about the late, great Don Henderson the other day.
Oh, yes.
I'd sort of... You know, I'm in the middle of all this work at the minute. And it was like yesterday, it was like, I just need something to unwind with. And so I looked and saw what was there, Bullman-wise. And there, lo and behold, someone's uploaded all those VHS rips I had. So they're obviously in circulation. Mm. And I watched Series 1, Episode 1, and it is fantastic. It is fantastic what they've done with the character. Mm. They've sort of totally mellowed him out, but they've still retained... the character, which is no mean feat, as you know. And the great job
incredibly difficult.
That him as the actor does is it's kind of, he's playing the new Bullman, who, I'm no longer on the force, chummy, right?
Right.
He's playing that guy, but it doesn't seem in any way forced where he returns to the original characterization. It's really good. I mean, I'll give you a few snippets, right? This is going to tantalize you. Okay. So within the first 5 minutes, guest star wise, he bumps into Gary Holton in the street, right? So within the first 5 minutes, they establish who he is. He's in the university. He's doing a degree in medieval history. That's what he's doing now. And he's got that Shakespeare t-shirt that he sort of wore all the way through it with Will Power written on it, which I think is great. I'm going to get you one. But he's wearing it with a shirt underneath. It's almost like a sort of visual representation of the old character and the new. It's odd.
It's almost like body armor as well, chainmail in a way.
Yeah.
There's the protection.
Yeah. And so straight away, we've got Mark McManus, who played his boss in Strangers, which is just Taggart in it, he's like that. No, I've left the force now. Anyway, first 5 minutes, he's bought himself an antique clock shop for 3,400 quid. That's good going in London, 1985. And he walks out of there, and there's Gary Holton in the street, right? Better known as Wayne in Arvida's Ain't Pet, or the singer of Murphy's Mob, or the lead singer in, was it Generation X? Was that Billy Idol? I can't remember. He was the lead singer in a punk band.
Mm.
New York Kids, I think it might have been. Right, guest stars, okay? Whet to your appetite. I say, okay, so Gary Holton's in it.
Uh-huh.
Mark McManus. The guy with the baked bread head that was trying to remember the other day, who's got the same fringe as Henderson, his second in command.
Oh, that very sort of direct severe line of a fringe.
Yeah, that kind of helmet. Kenneth Williams, a Caesar in Carry On Cleo, sort of.
Yeah.
Or Derek Jacobi as Claudius.
Yes.
He has that severe thing, doesn't he?
Mm.
And then right at the end, you're going to love this, David Suchet turns up as a detective at Heathrow. It's great.
Oh,
and it's
like a bit of Suchet.
The snow starts falling halfway through where his co-star all the way through, Siobhan Redmond, the woman who looks like Peter Capaldi and sounds like him. She's his co-star in it. And halfway through, snow starts falling. And it's 1985 snow.
That's what I was going to ask you, because that's what you said to me yesterday. You said it's proper 1980s snow.
Yeah, it is.
Define it. Go on. What's 1980s snow?
So it's sort of, maybe it's the way in which it's filmed. Maybe snow's just snow. I think the Eskimos haven't they got like 77 different words for snow?
Because
there's many different bits of it. I just have one, snow. And now I have two, 1980s snow.
Mm.
So it's very much, I suppose, because it's all VT. Maybe it's the way in which the camera captures it, but it's very sort of, in terms of depth of field, it's very sort of, it's almost like interference on the screen.
Mm. Well, when are we talking? 85?
85.
So you see, really, you are just at that point, aren't you, where we're moving over from having a mixture of film for outside location stuff and VT for in studio. We're starting to get into that point. 85 is the last year that Doctor Who does it. And I think that what you then get is, which region's this? Is it Granada?
So it's made by Granada, but shot in London. I think it's shot in London. It's set in London because they're at Heathrow on one bit of it. And then he's on underground stations and such. So I'm sure it's... Maybe the bulk of it's kind of shot in Didsbury or something in Manchester, you know. But there's a lot of... Anyway, it's all VT.
Well, see, what I'm thinking then is, because if I think of sort of like Granada VT from around that time, the one that really went for it with outside broadcast stuff was... Do you remember that sitcom, Watching?
Yeah.
Watching. That was
Jim
it Lisa Hitchmoth, Tarbuck.
Hitchmoth.
Yeah. Paul Bone.
Emma Ray. Paul Bowne.
Lisa Tarbuck.
Lisa Tarbuck.
I liked Emma Ray.
Yes. Yes, we all liked Emma Ray.
Oh, I think that's why I watched it.
She was great in it, weren't she? Nursey, as his mum was... Patsy Byrne. She was fantastic in it.
Absolutely wonderful. But they did a lot of outside broadcast VT on that, and that's got that similar... I don't know, it's almost like a slightly ethereal quality. Mm. It's like there's a haze almost over everything. But you're just at that point, aren't you, with it? We're using outside broadcast video. Often it was sort of like new technology and a bit lightweight news gathering. cameras and things like that. So the quality wasn't as good. So that's why you get this sort of like, it's a slightly an opaque quality, which I absolutely love. I think it does so much. The harshness now of video, of course, with it being digital, is it's flat images.
Yeah.
Whereas 1980s video, 2-inch or 1-inch video in this case, you've got that the opaque quality and film, of course, just like it looks like it was shot in Brigadoon. It's just, they're all so different. Either of the other two, but not the boringly flat digital. I don't like that.
Oh, it paints it lovely. I'm looking forward to seeing, because obviously I've got it, I've only seen this in VHS quality. So there's that further barrier, isn't there? You know, sort of, you go from, what's VHS lines wise? How many lines? Oh no, it's not lines, it's fields, isn't it? So,
is it 25?
Or, I'm not sure, but you've got a reduction, haven't you, in field rate or whatever it is. And so again, it locks it perfectly well into that time where my mum would have like 10 videos in like, you know, pretend leather books.
Oh, yes.
Those little cases that you had. Yeah. She was obsessed with a series called George's Dragon. I've never seen it. It was like a animatronic dragon. It was a kid's show.
I don't remember that. Straight away, I think George and the Dragon with Sid James and Peggy Mount. Oh, and John Lemesh absolutely phoning it in on that one. No effort. No effort at all. It's sublime. Oh, he wouldn't. Turns up each week to Pinewood, does a few scenes. Thank you very much for the money. And off he goes.
You fashion yourself on Lemez, don't you? He's your spirit animal.
He is my spirit animal. That's the best way to describe him. I couldn't fashion myself on him because nobody
could. No, I mean emulation-wise.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I mean, who wouldn't?
I like when I chatting away to you on WhatsApp. Oh, this is a nice chat. I mention work. 18 hours later, there'll be a picture of something funny. It's like, oh, work not happening then.
Work's not happening, no.
I know,
no,
you're quite right, you're quite right.
Get to that point where you go, no, I'm sorry, don't do that at the moment.
No, you're quite right. And that is the way to do it. You've got to have that off switch, and I, unfortunately, need to develop that.
Yes, you will, you'll get there, don't worry, because all of a sudden you go, oh, I'm just not that bothered.
I'm hot and bothered.
Hot and bothered. We should mention this, we should say, we are recording this on, what day is it? Is it Tuesday?
It's the 19th of July.
Tuesday, yeah.
Tuesday, as John Paul might have said.
He might. And apparently it's going to be the hottest day ever recorded.
Today?
In the UK. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Hotter than yesterday.
I tell you what, I was sort of working in here all yesterday. I was doing music. And I went to bring my washing in last evening, and I went outside, it was just like, boom.
It's a wall of heat. Yeah, absolutely, a proper wall of heat. It's like it's like a sort of a, it's a strange heat though, because it's about, I used to go, before they inflicted COVID on me, I take it personally, I used to go to Crete once a year, and it's the same temperature as Crete, but It's not a lovely dry heat. I like a dry heat because then it makes me feel like I'm Roy Marsden in The Sandbaggers and that sort of thing. And
You're going to have to go back a few steps here, right? Are you... Right, so in this country...
Yeah.
You are Lemez.
Yes.
You go to Crete. Now then, do you cross some international time zone, do they call it? Where you become, I can't remember his pissing name, I'm too hot. Where you become, come on, Lotus Eaters.
Ian Hendry.
Do you become Hendry or do you retain Lemez whilst in Crete? Because Crete would lend itself to that sort of white linen suit and rope shoes, Lemez.
It very much, I think I'm basically John. You know John Lemesh when he's in that brilliant Dennis Potter thing called Traitor? Right. It's a superb piece of acting, but obviously he never did it again because it was such hard work. So he just did one brilliant performance. I'm a bit like that in Crete. So essentially, if you imagine John Lemesh playing the role of Ian Hendry, but... Not quite that arsed about playing it, if that makes sense.
Right, but a few glasses of raki in, you become no doubt, the full Hendry.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the last time that I did that last time I was there, I went for a kebab. I thought, I'll just go out and pick up a kebab. And I passed a little church. Now, I've never done the whole Roman Catholic thing before. I passed a little church and the door was open. And I mean, it was tiny.
Wouldn't there be Greek Orthodox?
Oh, I don't know.
Is like Catholicism, but even more so.
Like that, a lot of incense, that sort of thing. And I went to this little church. And this church, I remember, it dated from the late 700s. So it was a tiny, tiny church. And I thought, the door's open, I'll wander in. And there were other people in there, so I just sort of, like, joined the group. And then I realised I was making my way up an aisle rather slowly. And then I got to the front of the aisle, and the priest is there, and I had to take the whole sort of, like, whatever it was, I got touched and all this sort of thing. That was a bit unusual, because I was only going for a kebab. Then I walked down to the kebab house.
So you saw the queue at the church and presumed it was for kebabs?
Well, basically, I just thought, well, what's going on here? Didn't expect to be sort of inculcated. Then I went to the kebab house, and there was an old woman crying in the corner, and I just gave her a sympathetic look. And then she came over with a photo in a frame of a young lad in military uniform, and she's crying and pointing at him. Oh, Christ, he's dead. That's not good. So I just turned round subtly to look at other people in the kebab shop, and there are photos of this boy everywhere. There's about 40 photos in frames, and all of the kebab house owners are just looking at me pleadingly. And I thought, I don't know what I meant. Well, I don't know what it was. But in the end, they cracked the raki open. About four raki between us as we commemorated, presumably, this dead. Have I?
Go on. Suddenly, they cracked the raki open, and suddenly four.
All of a sudden, four rakis later, I'm commiserating the dead boy's family.
I love it. Speaking Greek.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, fluently. Yamas.
Yeah.
That means thank you. But no, I do prefer the Greek approach.
I remember being on Dam Square, Amsterdam, looking for a curry house at about 10 o'clock at night. And out of the darkness emerged this old woman in like a prop. She looked like Pat Hayes in Edna the Inebriated Woman. And she's sort of talking to me. She's like, oh, you are a nice young man. You look so happy. You look so well. And this, that, one. And I was like, oh, thank you. Yes, I am well. Thank you. You know, she says, I am not so well. And then she launches into her whole life story. And I've smoked that much weed because I'm in Amsterdam and I'm really wanting a curry. And I'm just like that. And she's quite intimidating, you know, right in your face here like that. And I'm like, I'm getting the fear over here, by the way, you know. I'm having a bad time on this weed. And I was like that. If I give you money, will you leave me alone? She was like, yes. Yes. give her 10 euro or something like that. And she disappeared. It was just, I couldn't be doing with tales of war. I was having a really bad time by this point.
She's skillful, isn't she? She looks for tourists and uses that trick. Oh, yeah.
She knew exactly what to do. So, you know, she kind of wore me down. But, hey, good for her, you know. Beggars, they seem quite profligate, is it? There's lots of them about there. I bet there's none near you.
We've got the man who plays the accordion. I think he's from somewhere foreign.
Yes, but I mean, we just have, like, blokes round here. Like, blokes with dreadlocks and things like that.
Oh, no, we wouldn't be having any of that.
No, you don't have any of those, do you?
No, we wouldn't have any of that, no, absolutely
they sit outside
not.
All the shops now. It's weird. It's a new thing in the last 5 years.
It is a strange one. No, we did have a lady, I suspect Romanian, selling the big issue outside the Aldi here, but she was moved along. They don't like that sort of thing.
No. I'm sure you and the other residents on the committee made sure she was just disappeared in the night.
Well, over to the island, dear. Keep them there.
Yeah.
Just keep them there. That's all that they need. They don't need food or water. Leave them on the island.
No, there's plenty to forage on the island.
There is, absolutely. So, no, I mean, but we've got a horse and cart going about a lot at the moment, which is quite nice.
Oh, it's telling me this will end in 10 minutes. Why is it doing that?
Oh, well, what's it doing that for? Right, let's just keep going, though. Anyway,
we'll keep going and start again. It's too hot. This is too hot. Zoom's too hot.
I think that's what it is.
10 minutes, chummy.
Yes, no, that's all you get. Well, you put the Crossroads music in, all will be well. Anyway, So, yeah. So I don't know. The other problem, of course, at the moment is because the weather's like this. Ooh. All the people from other places think they can come here.
Ah, to your beach.
Yes.
Well, that's quite frankly not on. You'll be having people bang on the window next.
If that happens, I'm moving.
Emergency
I'm not having
meeting.
That. Yes, I think it may come down to that. There is get the WhatsApp group open. Speak to the chaps, all of whom are over 80. Oh, absolutely.
Round up a pussy.
That's it. So anyway, I don't know what were we talking about.
I don't know. It's too hot. Have you got any nice things this week?
I got one. Just because I didn't have it. I got Monty Python's previous record.
Oh, that's an excellent record.
It's a brilliant record. I absolutely love that. I got that. I got given, rather nice, I got given a complete set of Tenco on DVD.
Ooh.
Always worth having. Although, frankly, I've no sympathy for them given the temperature here at the moment. This is terribly Tenco-esque.
It is very Tenco, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. What about you? Have you got anything lovely?
Well, on Sunday, and I sat there and made... So it's been a funny old week. I now have a new iMac, which is what we're on now, as the one died last week on me. That was fun taking that apart and cleaning the fan, because they're just one big piece of glass you take apart. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Boring. And then I had to stop doing that, because on Sunday... And it's the first one that has come up in 3 years. I forgot to bid on the last one. The crazy annual 1985, which would complete my IPC annuals collection. So I got it. I sat there and got it. I put a bid on. It was at 99p. And it was like, okay. I want this. I've got to have this. So, you know, you type in your bid and you then another screen comes up and you click confirm bid. So I waited 18 seconds before it ended. And I put in a bid of £30. It was like, I'm having this. I'm having this. It is not even worth a tenner, but I'm having it. And got it for £4.20. So there we go.
What
so,
I love there.
As long as it
the,
doesn't get lost in the post.
Well, there is that. No, I love the idea of that other little person who's sitting there bidding for it, and suddenly your bid comes in and he goes, oh, I'll put a pound on.
No,
30
mate.
Quid.
Nah, mate. Nah,
not
have you
for
got-
you.
Going hard, you know what I mean? Don't fuck about when it comes to comics.
Yeah. So when will that arrive? If it arrives, because probably
if it arrives, it will be arriving tomorrow.
They'll say the hot weather's made it get lost.
Yeah,
or something.
It'll turn up bent. It's like, oh, sorry, I had to use it as a fan in the van.
Wasn't there an actor called Stephen Bent?
Probably.
Ooh, I'm having a good,
strong
quick
arms
Google.
On the case.
No, there's a reason for that. Now then, I think, was he something to do with children's television? How would it
I
be spelled? PH. Stephen Bent. English actor? Oh, he's in Crossroads. Oh, yeah, I know him. Right. Yeah, sorry. He's a brilliant actor. He played a Scouser in Crossroads.
Yeah.
And naturally, because he was a Scouser in Crossroads, therefore he was a ne'er-do-well. Who invaded and took over Shuey McPhee's flat. Little Angus Lenny suddenly has got this incredibly aggressive Scouser who looked like a 1970s rapist who's insisting that it's now his flat and he's going to sit and occasionally just punching Angus Lenny. Like, well, why is he putting up with this? Kathy Staff pops in and Angus Lenny's like, oh, there's no problem, holding a piece of steak to his face.
Angus is a bit of rough.
Well, I hadn't considered that.
Because have you ever heard, we've discussed him before, Rex Jameson, Mrs. Shufflewick?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so Rex, he used to like the rougher sort of boy. And he lived with this road worker, sort of this navvy-type bloke. And Rex Jameson was like this little tiny weedy guy. And he lived with this great big sort of navvy chap who apparently used to knock bloody hell out of poor Rex. But he liked that sort of chap, so he put up with it.
Couldn't he like that sort of chap without the...
The violence.
Sort of, or was the rough the thing that he actually liked?
I don't know. I don't know about that. But I think that what you're talking about back then certainly was kind of repressed sexuality that would kind of bleed through as aggression, wouldn't it?
Mm.
You know, so I'm presuming that it was kind of like, no pun intended, he was the butt of his anger. And he probably took it out on him. that came out all wrong. But you know what I mean. What I mean. That's sort of like it's a victim of societal attitudes, dear boy.
Well, no, absolutely. I mean, look at Joe Orton and Kenneth Halliwell. At the end of the day, you know, there's a fascinating relationship. Is there a book out there that actually talks about their relationship? Not a biographical thing, I wonder, but something that sort of dismantles their relationship, because that would fascinate me.
Well, there's
just
that
to
film,
try.
Isn't the Prick Up Your Ears?
With Gary Oldman, isn't it? That's a wonderful film.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant film.
Alfred Molina plays Halliwell, doesn't he?
That's right, yeah. And terrifyingly so.
Yeah.
But then Molina's brilliant. But I think it would just be fascinating to try and understand that relationship that was so all-consuming but driven by this combination of passion and jealousy. I think that would be fascinating to find out.
Yeah, it must have been. It's interesting, isn't it? Because when he had Orton in his sort of in his orbit, and he kind of had this sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, a kind of genius, but somebody who was obviously going to make the dent in the universe, and Halliwell was happy when he could contain that, but as soon as sort of the world beckoned, and Orton became successful, the jealousy was just incredible.
Just remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. Those sort of relationships fascinate me, I have to say, in a kind of a tabloidy way. But, yes. Yeah, anyway.
You're playing with your feather. You're that hot.
I'm hot. I was wondering if I could fan myself with it, but it's not going to make any bloody difference.
No. This is incredibly warm. My brain is overheating.
No, it is.
There's a poster on the wall about how you had to keep factories a certain temperature, and it was that big fat bloke who used to be the fat bloke in everything. He's in the porridge film as Delilah or something like that. As a big fat bloke. Let me have a quick look.
Don't remember.
You know
that.
What I meant.
I know you mean. Although this morning I was reading up about that. What was his name? Used to do Fat Man on a Bicycle. Things like that. Back in the 80s, he would do those. And I think he did a couple of series for Channel 4, and then he went to Meridian, and then all of a sudden, it sort of vanished. But
I can't be arsed looking for this.
Today really is just both of us not really remembering things very well.
No, it's too hot for recall. Yeah. You know, that's the trouble. It's far too hot to remember anything. Ooh. I can't even smell my own name, as the saying goes. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, Bulman, great, wasn't it?
I'll give Bulman a watch today.
Yeah, I'm going to buy the DVDs. It's got to be done.
Okay. No, I think it should be done then. But I'll give that a go maybe around 4 o'clock when it reaches peak, you know, day the Earth caught fire sort of
temperature. Great film.
One always assumed, I'm sure the film would be great. And if it was like that right now, then that would be brilliant, because Leo McKern makes everything better.
Leo McKern always makes everything better. What's his name? Judd. Edward Judd. Fantastic. Elsie Tanner's boyfriend. Yeah? God, Edward Judd was good.
He was brilliant.
But there's that spell, isn't there? He's not used throughout the 70s. Wasn't he a bit of a drinker?
That rings a bell, but then again, who wasn't? I mean, I was just watching. What was Diana Dawes' husband, Alan
Lake?
Alan Lake. Watching him in an old 77 Doctor Who the other day. And you're looking at him knowing that is a dangerous man. He's in an episode of Blake 7, and he looks like he might actually kill anybody at any moment.
Yeah.
There's an intensity behind that performance that makes you think,
we're on less than a minute here. So we'll call end of part one. You can go and put your bollocks in a bowl of cold water. Yes, Edward Judd.
Edward Judd.
The Earth Caught Fire. You'd moved on to Alan Lake.
Alan Lake and these wonderful, dangerous actors. Like him from Box of Delights, Robert Thingy.
Robert Stevens. Oh, he's tremendous.
Actors who you wouldn't necessarily feel safe with on a set.
No.
There's a lovely Dixon of Dock Green I was watching the other day. And, of course, that went out live for most of its run. And then it only really went to recorder because Jack Warner, when he turned about 80 and he was still in the police, all of a sudden he couldn't remember the lines. So then they really did have to go to rehearse, record and that sort of thing.
Right.
But on one of these live ones, there's a lovely one with Peter Byrne, who was sort of like the young male lead in Dixon of Dock Green. Says a lot that he died about 10 years ago at the age of 86. But there's a lovely moment where it's all getting really quite het up between him and another actor, and there's this lovely argument brewing. But if you look at the other actor, he's got nervy actor hands. And nervy actor hands are a favourite thing of mine to look out for. And the way that you see them, if I just stand up here, the way you see them is they often clutch the costume and hold the costume for dear life because of this fear that something's going to go wrong. And if I keep hold of my trousers, then it'll be fine. Jonathan Frid in Dark Shadows is constantly grabbing the side of his trousers just through pure fear. And you can see the other actor in this, Dixon of Dock Green, is holding his trousers. And then there's a bit of fisticuffs, and the other actor just lamps him straight in the jaw. A burn hits the deck, and you can see there's a moment of confusion followed by a moment of anger, and he leaps up and he grabs this other bloke, and suddenly it's like, oh, we're not in choreographed fight sequence town anymore, dear. It's proper aggression. It's a lovely, lovely mad little moment. But you don't get actors like that anymore, do you?
No, you don't get that danger. I think that along with the danger potentially comes unreliability and generally drinkies.
Well, Derek Newark, lovely Derek Newark, who was, he's in the very first ever Doctor Who story, and he was renowned as an actor, working with the National Theatre and things like that. He was just a remarkable actor, but there was something from his past, I think when he was in the military, that left him with a little hint of what you now call PTSD. But back then, of course, it was just get on with it. And so he would self-medicate by drinking an awful lot. He was dead by about 60, Derek Newark. He's fantastic as the wrestler in
Spooner.
Rising Damp. Spooner, that's
Spooner,
it.
Spooner. You're not dead, are you? I love that that's one. It. Where he shoots. It's because he's singing bladdered, isn't he? He's got his foot up in a... He's got
a cast thing.
Yeah. Get off me, Barra! And he's singing at the top of his voice.
Yes, and wonderfully unhinged performance from Newark there. But unfortunately, then, of course, he ends up drinking quite an awful lot, and then he becomes known more for the drinking than anything else, and he ended up not doing much work and dying young. And it's a bloody shame, because there's an actor who, apparently when you saw him in theatre, I always thought of Newark as being this TV actor, you know, this modern, sort of like really quite new discipline of performance, as it was still in the 60s. But apparently as a theatre actor, he owned the stage. You know, he was just you were drawn to him. It's this magnetic thing that Newark had. I'd love to read that book about
him. I would. I even emailed the author, his brother, to say, look, can you reprint this? And also 10 Acre Films. There were a lot of these sort of chubby, ruddy, potentially alcoholic actors back then. Who's the one who is the professor in The Invisible Enemy?
Marius. Oh, Oh, it's hot.
It's very hot. He's in loads of Doctor Who's.
He is. Now, I want to say Prentice Hancock, and it's not.
I wanted to say Prentice Hancock, and it's not.
I love Prentice. Prentice Hancock was getting very cross on Facebook this week about something.
Isn't he got a Dutch name or something? Norwegian?
Hang on. I'm having a Google. So
Peter Stuyvesant or something.
Hang on. Here we go. It is... Oh, it's Frederick Jaeger.
Freddy Jaeger. There you
Freddy
go.
Jaeger.
I knew it was Norwegian.
Yes.
Jaeger Bombs, man. Yeah, there are a lot of those sort of chubby... Is he still with us?
No. He's been dead, long time. 2004, 4, I think.
Thus confirming the hypothesis.
Yes, absolutely. Although then again, you know, and this is the, this is something that I noticed this week, right, is I'm going to look for... I wrote a little bit of prose about it. I'll do nothing with it.
Strong arms, softer side.
The notes at the end of a case, that sort of thing.
Yes.
But I think it was just... I was watching The Brothers. I've gone back to The Brothers. I've gone for season 4 of the Brothers. And it's that VT thing that we were talking about before. Mm. Because it's got the immediacy of news footage when you watch something on videotape. And so it's always startling then when you're watching these people who've worked and rehearsed and been in production meetings and you're watching them perform this stuff and they look younger than us. Mm. And then you go, died at 83. There's something terribly odd about that that I can't get my head around because of the immediacy of the look of the videotape that's there. You know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's all about perception, isn't it? You know, so for example, we associate that look with childhood.
Mm.
And we associate a lot of those shows with cosiness. I even associate Tenko with cosiness. Was that on a Saturday night? Tenko?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that.
For some reason, I think Saturday nights. And I remember it being hot like this. I mean, I remember hot nights like this because we'd have the back door open. That didn't happen very often. And in my memory, you can hear the crickets, but you couldn't because they were all on the films, those cricket noises.
Oh, yeah.
Because that certain is it a cicada or something they're called, those crickets?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That certain type that they use in all the sort of Alabama swamps and all that stuff, not true. Mm. Apparently, it's the certain type of cricket that they had around Hollywood that made that sound. And that's why it's in all the movies. So, summer nights, and summer not. Summer nights were sort of that noise in films, but outside, but it weren't. And the Phil Silvers show late at night, because it used to always be on Last Knockins on BBC Two. It was always the last thing on a Saturday night. Do you remember that?
About 11:20 it would come on.
Yeah. It was great. I used to love the Phil Silvers show.
Mm.
Because of a few things. They'd have some great guest stars. I remember Fred Gwynn is in one as the stomach who can eat anything. And there's a point to this. I can't remember what it is. Oh, and it was Top Cat as well, wasn't it?
Oh, but Bilko.
Yeah, they sort of replicated Bilko and all the other Doberman and whatnot as the characters in Top Cat.
They did. But then you've got that sort of it's black and white, isn't it? So I can accept that those people are dead. In The Brothers, they're in colour, they're not dead when they're making it. Does that make any right? So it's because I was trying to work out what this was, right? And I think it's because what you're doing when you watch a scene in The Brothers is you are watching. An actual, it's two people performing, it's two people who've rehearsed, it's two people plying their trade.
Mm.
Now, if I watch, at the moment I'm rewatching Chernobyl, right?
Great.
Which is a fantastic series. Every single shot, and there's about 800 an episode, every single shot has been graded and altered. Every single scene has been shot multiple times, and then the performance is lost because what you're watching then is something created in an edit suite where you can make your actors look brilliant or you can make them look subpar. Whereas when I watch them in The Brothers, they're doing that scene, they've got one shot at that scene, the vision mixer's there pressing the buttons, going from shot to shot, trying to keep up with the script while looking at all these monitors. The actors are bloody working because the option of just going, I've forgotten, isn't there. Mm. And I think that energy is captured beautifully. And that's where, in a way, I can sort of like link this in with the whole sort of like haunted side of things. Because if there is such a thing as stone tape theory, there's the proof. That energy is locked in that tape, I think. And that's, so I found it quite, I think it was just because I watched an episode of it the other day and every actor in the episode has died. Every one of them. And this was made in 1974, this series of it.
Mm.
That's wrong. They shouldn't all be dead.
Well, it's nearly 50 years ago.
Mm.
I know it isn't. I know it's 30 years ago, but it ain't. Mm. But it ain't. It's nearly 50 years ago. When people talk about 50 years ago, you don't think about 1972.
No, and you know what else you don't think about?
Go on.
You don't think about, I watched this originally on UK Gold, and it was only 18 years old at that point. Now it's nearly 50. So suddenly you go, Christ, UK Gold's been around a bit.
Well, if you take that to its extension, think about the five faces of Doctor Who when you watched An Unearthly Child. That was only 18 years old. And now it is 60 years old, almost. I know. I know. Domini, Doctor. It's all a bit tom-tit, if you ask me.
Tis a bit.
But, I mean, there's been some interesting things I've been reading about lately, such, you know, with consciousness and stuff like that, about what we presume is that time and space are fundamental. And consciousness is subordinate to that. But the current thinking is that consciousness is fundamental and time and space are constructs created by consciousness as a framework by which they can make sense of reality. It can make sense of reality. Okay. So in that case, it was 30 years ago in your consciousness.
Physically, however, my body suggests maybe it wasn't 30, maybe it was a little more.
A little more, yes. Wasn't just there a guy called Little Moore on telly?
Probably.
There's a guy called Cliff Mitchellmore.
Cliff Mitchellmore, who used to do the Holiday programme. I remember Holiday 86.
He withstood the ravages and realities of time for a long time.
He really did, Mitchellmore, didn't he? He looks exactly the same. If you watch him on Tonight from about 1959 and then compare him on Holiday 86, when he's there in his grey suit on holiday, oh, this is a lovely beach, and you could just occasionally see bikini shots, which is why...
Well, that's why we like Wish You Were Here in the titles, didn't we? The topless shot of the beach.
I didn't ever watch...
Oh, Monday nights. Judith Chalmers looking like a sort of varnished chestnut. Walnut.
And a lady...
Oh, in the credits. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's ITV summed up, isn't it? 7 o'clock on a Monday night. Have some tits.
Yeah. Yeah. As Eddie Hitler says in Bottom, isn't it? ITV's the channel for me. Nothing to worry about and plenty of sauce.
That's very true.
It is true.
And her son. Do you remember Rise? Channel 4's last attempt at a breakfast show. Does that ring a bell?
No.
I quite like that. That was presented by her son.
Oh, okay.
Mark Durden Smith, I think his name is.
Very nice. It's all right. You know, first rule of London Media Club is choose your parents wisely.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know. Yes. We're so tired and hot now, aren't we?
Mm.
We've run out of nice things to talk about, so we're having a pop at Judith Chalmers.
Is she even alive?
I don't know. I think we'd have known. There would have been 3 days of mourning, wouldn't there?
Well, there should be.
There should be for Judith.
And the smell like an old oak table as she pops in the creme.
Yes. I don't recall Judith Chalmers ever having a different hairdo.
No, she always had that sort of beehive
English teacher thing.
Yeah, short but big.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, with sort of grey streaks as the years went on.
Yeah, I remember that.
She'd like this.
Do you know what? It's 32 degrees. I've got a little thermometer here by the French doors. It's 32 bloody degrees.
I'm that fat bloke in the poster, you know, at a certain heat workers start to die or whatever it is. That was the poster I was trying to think about with the fat bloke out of the porridge film.
But we don't know what his name was yet.
No, I can't be arsed looking for that.
It's a little cliffhanger moment, isn't it? See if we can be arsed to look for it for next week.
No. Oh, for next week. Maybe next week. Only the thoughts of the Bulman DVD set and the crazy annual 1985 are sustaining me right now.
I've bought Alfie on DVD. It was in
Alfie.
I got that. And what else to do? It was £4 for £1. So I got Alfie, I got My Fair Lady, just because, you know, I like Rex Harrison
featuring,
when he's not singing.
Jeremy Brett.
Of course. Oh, that'll do. I bought A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Keep going.
That's good because I've got an absolute fear of 1980s American horror films because my mother sort of like indoctrinated me into the idea that they were portals to hell, you know. And
she's
right. But I mean, I was genuinely genuinely terrified of Freddy Krueger. And then she told me that the actor actually went mad and tried to kill a girl. Totally made up. But it left me with an absolute fear of that. So I'm going to watch it. Oh, shit me pants.
Well, you said four for her.
Team America.
This is very un-you. There's a lot of very un-you. Where were these from?
Cats Protection League shop.
So this was merely to protect cats. You didn't want any of those films.
Didn't want any of them. I didn't want any of them.
You'll never watch any of them either.
I'm going to watch My Fair Lady this afternoon.
Oh, it's poo.
I won't bother then. Thank you.
It's poo, isn't it? It's poo.
I don't know. But it's got like Rex Harrison not singing things. I like it when he doesn't sing. Wasn't he a bit of a strange man? Wasn't he into weird shit?
I'm sure he was.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought them. I don't want them. Do you want them?
No. I've got a bag of people. I'm sort of like a DVD dumping ground. People come round here with bin bags of them. It's like, I don't want them. And then they go, and the bag remains. And it's just like, oh, man. I've got a load more DVDs. Now, Father Ted's a popular choice. A lot of Father Ted DVDs being given away these days.
There are, aren't there? I think that's because... Yeah. Is that because we have to hate Graham Linehan now, or...?
Oh, maybe. Is that what it is?
It's probably that. It's usually something like that.
Right, okay.
To hate him or,
Father
or
Ted's fantastic. Father absolutely Ted's wonderful. Fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, if you
wonderful.
Remember those cosy Arthur Lowe, Derek Nimmo type sort of ecclesiastical comedies, it replicates the patina of that and the sort of hierarchy brilliantly and pastiches it.
It pastiches it, but it's got the lovely... It's surrealism more than Dada, isn't it? Yeah, it's sort of the surreal points that go with it as well. But no, you're right. There's a direct sort of like line from Oh Brother and Bless Me Father straight through to Father Ted.
The cosy front room thing.
Yes.
What's the one Arthur Lowe plays? He's Irish, isn't he? He plays an Irish priest.
Yeah, that's Bless Me Father.
Bless Me Father. Yeah, that's the one I think that it most closely sort of took as a template, and to sort of reinvent or reimagine the Arthur Lowe character as a pissed old cleric who's obsessed with drink and girls. It's just genius.
It's wonderful stuff.
Father Jack Hackett.
Yeah.
They're all great. It's a great series, man.
Every single
character in it. All the the guest priests every week.
Oh, Jim Norton as Father...
Damo Lennon.
Yeah, no, what's his name? Bishop Brennan.
Oh, Bishop Brennan. Oh, is that his name? Right.
Bishop Brennan.
Of course, he's the guy in the Italian job, isn't he?
Yeah, one of the finest...
what did you call me, you little bollocks? That's one of his best lines.
There we go.
How's the son? What? son of God. He means the son of God. All right. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, man.
It's a great series.
We're too tired to be arsed, aren't we?
I'm not at all arsed. I should apologise for wasting the boys and girls' time. Really.
Yeah, the listeners are just like that. Fucking hell, they're on about Father Ted now.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Last Bottom Live, Hooligans Island, or whatever it is? It might not even be the last one. I don't think it is.
No, they did five, didn't they? I think
did
the last
they do
one was...
five?
It's the last one, Arse Oddity or something, by which point they just weren't bothered.
Well, Hooligans Island, they're both going, oh, right, Ted.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
When you start to eat yourself, it's just bad news.
No, absolutely. Although the money from those tours must have been very nice.
That's probably what it was, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. It's a shame that they were going to come back, weren't they, with a comedy set in an old folks' home.
Same characters, old folks' home. Yeah, that's right. And I think they wrote two or three episodes, and then Adrian Edmondson said, no.
Just like, no, we've done all this. We've done all this.
Fair enough. I mean, you kind of, I completely get that, and I fully respect that. But on the other hand, I wish they had.
Oh, it'd have been great.
Oh, I wish they had. Just another six episodes of that or something. God, that would have been good.
It might have been like a fucked up Waiting for God.
Oh, I love that programme.
That's a great programme.
That's a superb program, and it's good. What's her name? Stephanie Cole, who's in Tenko. Tenko. Waiting for God.
You see, our links are, we're still on fire, mate.
We're still getting there. All the links are there. Now, I fancied Stephanie Cole.
Did something you?
Yeah. I don't know why. I think it was that severity, that school teacher.
I fancied Stephanie Beecham.
No. Yes. No, too flashy and too tall. You know the rule, women. 5'2" to 5'4". Over 5'4" doesn't count.
They're not women.
Not women.
No.
No. I'm not saying they are anything. I'm not doing any sort of like, you know, modern gender. I'm just saying no. And that's it.
And
I think sometimes these discussions need to end there. So when someone on Twitter says, "Are you saying this about my rights?" Yes. And that should be an end of it.
Yeah.
I don't see the need to go further.
Well, not in Carmichael's law.
Absolutely not.
The Carmichael cosmology. So absolutely. Are you going to be bothering with eating today? Because I'm sort of wondering how I'm going to approach that.
I don't know. I haven't thought about that.
I might go to the scrapyard.
For dinner?
Not for me food.
Why are you going to the scrapyard?
For just a parcel shelf.
Weld the shit out of something.
Yeah, I'll go
to
weld
to defeat
some
the heat.
Blocks. I'll go and have, but the trouble is interfacing with Malks again.
Oh, no.
I don't fancy a sort of a luncheon with Malk.
So like, I've got to arrange that. Oh, I've got a thing to put up. What's
why
it called?
Why don't you have a go at it?
Absolutely not. No. Yeah, because it looks complicated. You know the thing, the window for the shower window?
Complicated.
Screen.
Oh.
You can do
that.
No, absolutely not, because it's retractable and things. I've bought it because it was retractable, and I think it might look a bit like the doors on the Generation game.
Huh?
But I'm not going to put that up. Absolutely not.
Not today.
Not ever. Certainly not today. But
I'm doing a towels wash today.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it's a good day for towel washing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if this was a mistake or whether it'll be a good episode. Who knows?
I don't know, because let's be honest, when this goes out at the weekend, this will be a distant memory and people will have forgotten about this, won't they?
Will it?
People are flighty.
I thought that it was going to be hot at the weekend too.
Yeah, but not this. I mean, this is special. It's special heat from Putin, I think, this.
Weather modification, eh?
That's what it is. That's what we're talking about.
Like, why would Putin want us to fry? Has he got shares in, like, Alco Pops? What was it called that got left on your doorstep?
The bottle of Blue Wicked or something.
Yeah.
Absolutely
maybe that's a
not.
Russian thing.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's full of what's it called, polonium or something.
Maybe
that's it. No, I think it's Putin's doing it to kill off the crops. Then we've got to go to him, cap in hand. That's what it is. It's obvious, I think.
Haven't they taken all the McDonald's restaurants out of Russia?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They've gone.
So there's one bonus for them.
Yeah, I know. They'll be a lot healthier and more able to kill me.
Yeah? Have you ever eaten McDonald's food?
Once or twice. It's the strangest thing, isn't it? Because it doesn't do anything. It doesn't fill you up or make... No, I don't like it.
Makes you want more.
Yeah.
I'm melting.
Yeah.
Have we got anything else to say?
Nothing at all. I've run out of words.
Right, I think that maybe that's it. We've gone beyond talking about Father Ted, so it'll be Spangles and Space Hoppers next. Hey, remember them?
No. It'll go all Peter Kay, and nobody ever needs things to go all Peter Kay.
People might start, like, listening more if we did, like, Peter Kay things.
Hey, do you remember the ATV logo? I do. I don't care. Absolutely not. Yeah, no. I remember that, so I'll laugh, because I remember a thing. Pathetic.
Do you remember Coogan's character, Duncan Thicket?
No.
He was taking the piss out of all that. Hey, have you ever bought a bottle of milk and left it in the fridge too long? And you go back, and it's gone off, hasn't it? And it's just like, that's how banal observational comedians are.
Oh, just awful. Pointless. Yeah. There's nothing there. Do you remember this? Yes. What about it? Nothing. Literally nothing. Are you going to tell me something about it? No. Is there a point to this? No. It's just, I remember this, you share it. Sharing that commonality does not make me think you're funny. Assholes.
I think someone's ready for their siesta.
I'm a bit tired now.
Tired, hot, grumpy.
I need the raki and pudding to bed by the ladies.
Yeah. Ian Hendry would have had his shirt off by now.
He would, wouldn't he?
Oh, why? He'd be down to the old Speedos, just chucking back the raki on his third box of Rothmans.
You know what you need? A kick in the fucking face. That's what he'd say.
Wanda Bentham was most upset when he said that day.
Yeah, that'll be the level of his discourse by now.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. 20 to 12. Coming up. Oh.
What?
Midday sun's coming up.
Midday sun, but have you ever woken up in a tent after a monster session on the ale in heat like this? Entombed in polyester, and you just... Yeah. The grotty sweatiness of that. Oh, no. Why people subject themselves to these music festival-y things is beyond me.
Oh, I don't know.
No.
They shouldn't. No. Don't like it. No.
Absolutely not.
No. No, Michael.
No. Right, well, that's it.
That's your lot.
I've got nothing else to say. Have you?
No. Good God, no. I ran out of things to say about 15 minutes ago.
This was your idea.
I know. I'm... Oh. Well,
yeah. Right, well, whatever, you know. Stay indoors, stay safe and all the other stuff. Have a lovely week, and until the next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Nice Things, The Antidote to Modern Living, was presented by Sir Michael Livesley and Lady Paul Carmichael. The music was written by Michael Livesley, and the flutes were played by Andy Frizzell and John No Jokes Please Lewis. Nice Things is a Guilty Dog production.
Nice Things.